I'm so glad that you have everything surrendered to God already. I could just go home at this point. Amen? Because this message may be one of those that, maybe in the past you've struggled with a little bit. I can guarantee you I have too. We've been preaching on the God of Re. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses specifically 7 through 10 this morning. So nice to have each and every one of you with us today. Joining in online, I also add my greetings and just always a pleasure to hear from those who have joined us each Sunday morning. Thank you so much. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Let's go ahead and read that. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. God says, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to contain it. We've been preaching the last few weeks on God, the God of Re, the God who remembers. Poor Noah out there in the boat, riding the waves, couldn't even see the mountaintops. Surely, he began to wonder, will God remember that we're out here? And sure enough, it said God remembered Noah. We went to God refuses, specifically the Ten Commandments. That first commandment implies that God will refuse to be equaled or alongside of or to be shared in allegiance and worship. He refuses to be second. Amen. And a couple Sundays ago, we looked at God refills. The widow that of Zarephath there, she had run out of resources and she was at the point of having to sell her, give away her son so that she could pay her debt. And God instead refilled her reservoirs of oil so that she could sell. God reveals, Pastor Thomas shared a couple Sundays ago, through the prophetic message of the Word, He reveals His Word. Last week we shared God relents. God relents. And this week God rebukes. How many of you have come this morning to be rebuked? Yes. Yes, all of you this morning are excited about being rebuked. Wonderful. Well, that's really the characteristic of a maturing, growing Christian. Because as we grow and mature, we learn that we cannot do without God's correction. Not just weekly, but daily. In fact, the mark of a growing disciple is to learn to love to be corrected by Jesus. To learn to love to be corrected daily, moment by moment, hour by hour. When I get a stray thought about how I might do something or respond to someone or this and that, I can remember that God is going to correct me through the ministry of His Holy Spirit. He's going to bring correction into my life. All I got to do is listen for it. Amen? So that's what God rebuking is all about. It means God is saying to us, He wants to bless us, but if we get outside the lines of His will, He says, I can't bless that. But I want to bless you. I want you to experience, when the floodgates of heaven open, I want you to experience my blessing. I created this picture in my office earlier this week, I think it was, maybe last week. I got to thinking about all the whiteout I've used over the years. I'm sure by now, gallons. Not using it much anymore since I use the computer for everything, but Back in our college days and before we were computerized, man, we used a ton of whiteout. And I got to thinking about whiteout and Scripture. That there may be times in our life when we open the Word of God and we're thinking, man, I would love to white that part out. Just make it so it's not even there, as if it didn't even happen, as if God never even said it. And then, you know what happens? We all realize that we're responsible to put something back in there. If we were to write out portions of the Word of God today, how would you rewrite it? Well, God releases us from that responsibility, amen? And He says, just let me be God, let the Bible be the Bible, let me speak the Word as it is written, amen? And there's relief in that. There's freedom from bondage in that. Remember, this message this morning is about ultimately about blessing. God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and see if I won't pour out such a blessing. Open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not have room enough to contain it. I shared with Bill as I came in, I said, well, I preached on tithing out at Lost Lake, and I'm alive to tell about it. I got to tell you, it's a little bit unnerving for a pastor to talk about tithing. But here again, the Spirit corrects. He always corrects. And every time I wanted to wiggle out of this, the Spirit said, no, you just let this be what it is. Let my Word speak, and I'll deal with whatever potential fallout there might be, okay? Can I get an amen? Thank you. This could very well be the best message, the best news that you have heard all year or will hear all year. And I mean that. Because it has very practical application for your faith. It moves faith out of the abstract, out of the hypothetical, and really puts it where you and I have a practical response to the message of God. This may be one of those themes for you in Scripture. But I want to invite you to come on in. The water's fine. Amen. We believe in the plenary inspiration of Scripture. That means we believe in the full, from cover to cover, inspiration of Scripture. Amen. That it is God-breathed, God-ordained, that it is brought to us by God. We also understand that that plenary inspiration means that we believe in looking at the entire book, looking at the entire Bible in regards to what it says about a theme or a topic. So we don't just pick and choose, cherry pick a verse here and cherry pick a verse there and build a theology out of those particular verses, but rather we look at the plenary, the whole, the full book of the Bible and say, what does God say about this? And Lord, what do you want to speak about, or what do you want to speak truth into my life from your Word on? Stan Toler's approach, many of you know that Stan Toler was one of our general superintendents, and he's written some of the books that we've studied, and he's just, I love the guy. He's been on to be with Jesus now. But he said his approach to stewardship was he would always let the people know the week ahead of time that he was going to talk about money. He was going to talk about tithing just in case anybody didn't, would rather not show up the next Sunday. That they had that option. And he said overwhelmingly, the day that he made sure that he focused on giving and focused on stewardship throughout the year, that that was the day that they had always increased attendance. Because people want to know about what God says about money. Now, it does make us a little nervous sometimes, doesn't it? Because it's so close to home. It's so close to where the rubber meets the road to give like God instructs us is a little bit unnerving, and yet God says, let's just let the Word be the Word this morning. Let me instruct you. Let me bring correction into your life. And I know that we welcome that. You see, the Bible talks about money more than all other topics. I know. Let's just let the Word be the Word. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, fewer than 500 verses on faith, and more than 2,000 verses on money. Is anybody getting blessed this morning? In fact, 15% of the Bible, everything Jesus ever taught, was on the topic of money and possessions, and what do we do with those? So that means more than his teachings on healing, on his teachings on heaven and hell, he talks to us about money. And I think that's pretty practical. Because if there's anything that'll get me askew in my relationship with God, it's money. I can get so messed up when I begin to put my money before God. So the Bible is full of verses on money. So you would expect that a preacher who preaches from the Bible eventually is going to preach about money. So can I get an amen? Our pastor's preaching on money today, and everybody said, amen, whoa. Yeah, even those online, I think I heard you. Awesome. So a country pastor was talking to his farmer friend, and he asked his farmer, if you had 100 horses, he said, would you give God 50? Oh, certainly, he said. He said, if you had 100 cows, would you give God 50 of those cows? Oh, certainly, he said, you know I would. And he said, friend, if you had 2 pigs, would you give God? He said, now, pastor, quit. Just cut it out. He said, you know I have 2 pigs. A little girl was given $2 by her father, and he told her that she could do anything with the money that he gave her as long as she gave one of the dollars to God at church on Sunday morning. And she was so happy. She nodded and said, absolutely, in agreement. And then she asked if she could go to the candy store. And so she was just thinking about all the racks of candy and all the beautiful things that she could buy with her dollar. And all of a sudden she tripped and fell, and one of the dollars blew out of her hand and flew into the storm sewer there. And man, she got up, dusted herself off, and looked at her hand, and then she looked up into heaven and she said, well, thank you, God, I still got my dollar. Too bad about yours. Okay. So we're talking about God of the God who rebukes. How do you spell relief? NAP? That's a good one. Yeah. I don't want to go the R-O-L-A-I-D. Boy, that still comes back to us, doesn't it? Yeah. I want you to think about the relief that God has for your finances as obedience. As obedience. If you've ever lived this, you know it to be true. And I can tell you and testify thoroughly this morning, in my 25 plus years of being a pastor, I have never met a sorry tither. A tithe is 10% of our income. And our offerings then are in addition to our tithes. So when we talk about let's present our tithes and our offerings to God, it means that we are presenting 10% of our income every week or every month or whenever, however that works for you. And then in addition to that, we are also giving him our offerings of love and appreciation. So let's think about it for a moment. How does this kind of really, what is the concept of tithe? Today, we too give to God. But we know that when the ushers receive the monies from the people, that they don't go into a back room somewhere and meet with God and God somehow sucks it up into heaven. We know that in a very practical way, God receives the tithes through, in the Old Testament, the temple. So when you were tithing in the Old Testament, you brought your tithe into the storehouse so that God could be, so that God's work could be administered through the storehouse. It was the temple. Now, back in the days of the Old Testament, they didn't have a lot of the social networks and systems in place that we do today, like Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, insurance. And so the temple was a place, it's really becomes no surprise then that God would say, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Amen? It was a place where it was not only the spiritual center of Jerusalem, but it was the center socially and even economically. It was the center of everything in Judaism. I love the fact that God uses the word food here. That makes it so practical. It means that not only do people benefit physically through your tithes and mine, but that people benefit spiritually. That Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Blessed is he that hunger and thirsts after righteousness. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food, resource, sustenance in my house, in order that that house may administer and administrate his grace." I'm so pleased that since January 4th, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,200 meals have been distributed from here through the Fighting Hunger Feeding Wellness Program in partnership with KSB. That's amazing, amen. It's because people are tithing. It's because the monies that are coming in are facilitating that kind of ministry. And then we're here this morning, not just because we ate food throughout the week, but we're here this morning because God is providing a spiritual dinner for us right now, a buffet that we can receive from and receive sustenance. It's food for our souls. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. By the way, aren't our texts doing a wonderful job? Yes, doing a wonderful job. Now, Brother Brad called ahead and said he couldn't be here this morning, and I said, "There's your one Sunday off a year." And he said, "But I got some great-grandsons who are going to step right in and help us out this morning." So, Brother Brad, thank you for your leadership over the years and again today, even though you're not here today. May God bless you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. In one case, the tenth, now this is New Testament. In one case, the tenth is collected by men who die. And he's talking about when we used to, in the Old Testament, bring it and present it to the priests in the Old Testament, to the temple. But in the other case, which is the New Testament, by him who is declared to be living. In other words, Jesus is receiving our tithe today in the New Testament. So where does our tithe go? It goes to Jesus. We're not giving because your pastor said it's the thing to do. We're giving because we are people of the Word of God, amen? And we give because Jesus is the recipient. And being his hands and feet, then the church administers those tithes back into the community to administer help and healing in every area of life. Let's remember the word blessing used in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. "See if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven. Test me in this. See if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing you won't even be able to contain it." It's a blessing to be part of God's work. So how does God desire to bless you? Because ultimately, our scripture this morning is, I use the word rebuke just because it's kind of fun to play with this morning and just say, you know, everybody's going to get rebuked. Man, I talked to several people this week and they said, "What are you going to preach on?" And I said, "Money." Oh, I even heard from one person that said yesterday in the hospital, as talking to her, and I said, she said, "Boy, Pastor, you're doing a wonderful job. I just, you know, appreciate you and everything you're doing at the church and everything." She said, "What are you going to preach on tomorrow?" I said, "Money." She said, "Oh, maybe it's better that I'm not there." No, she said that tongue in cheek, which I quote her again this morning, the great theologian Lois Gunning from Lost Lake. So, how does God desire to bless? He desires to bless you with faith and belief. Don't get the cart in front of the horse here. He wants to bless you with faith and belief. And sometimes we want a faith and belief that costs us nothing. And then we say, all right, Lord, hit me with it. Bring it home. I'm going to believe now. Bring it on home. Give me that warm, fuzzy feeling and power so that I can feel like I really believe and really have faith. No, James says faith without works is dead. So sometimes we just need to, instead of wait for the big whammy from God, just put the tithe check in the offering plate and then be blessed with faith and belief, because you've just started your week with less in your checkbook than you would have had you not given. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Some of you are really excited. Oh, this is fun. This is fun. All right. God wants to also bless you with baptism. He wants to bless you. He said that you should go and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are buried with Him into death, that like as Christ we were raised from the dead, even so we. So if you have never received the grace of baptism, I would like to encourage you, if you have become a believer in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you that God wants to bless you with the grace of baptism. It means that you are publicly identifying yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ. Number three, knowledge. God wants to bless you with knowledge. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, and see if I won't throw out a blessing on you that you cannot contain. This is about blessing. He wants to bless you with faith and belief, with baptism, and with knowledge. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Learn from me. You see, Christians, if you call yourself a Christian today, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to be a man or woman of the Word. That means getting into the Word every single day of your life. Because you know what happens? It happens in my life, and I'm sure it happens in yours. The day that we don't get into the Word, what happens? We get off just a little bit. And God says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. Oh, I can't bless that. I want to bless you. Come back to me. Come back, all you who are weary. And we get out there, we get so tired. Oh, God, this is so hard. God says, come back to me. And we learn to love, to be corrected. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I just about made a terrible financial decision out there on my own, thinking I needed to do it when I really didn't need to. Jesus said, come back to me. Learn from me. Just watch me. Life is not that hard when you're with me and I'm with you. Come back to me. Learn to love, to be corrected. And we learn from Him. But we can't learn from Him unless we are with Him. And we are with Him in the Spirit and in the Word every day. Grow in love and grace and obedience. He wants to bless you with growth. Are you growing spiritually? Is this year a year of growth so far for you? I trust that it is, and I want it to be. I want that for you. I want you to be growing as a follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to be experiencing the new revelations of God in your life every day. I want you to experience His correction and His molding of you. But I can't make that happen. Ultimately, it is your responsibility to be in the Word. And if you're feeling like you're not growing, the first place I want to encourage you to go is the Word of God, and spend time with Jesus. Spend time in the Word. You can't expect to grow if you're not eating. You gotta be in the Word. You gotta be in the Word. So He wants to bless you with growth, and He wants to bless you with love. Amen. Now, that's not, part of this is you feeling loved, but part of this is also you being able to give love, to share love. Because sometimes, when we're in a situation where it's difficult to love, We say, oh God, I can't do this. And he said, you are right. You can't. But you want me to put my love in you, and then you'll be able to? You'll be able to see this situation through my eyes, and you will be able to love? And we're like, oh, Jesus, would you? And he does. He wants to bless you with love. Love, the love of Jesus that looked down from the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the love that you and I have to pray for in growth. See if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you, you won't be able to contain it. You know what it's like to be around a person that loves, not just on their own, but loves with the love of God? You just want to be around them, because that love is accepting and merciful and graceful. And it's a beautiful thing to witness and be around. And he wants to bless us with obedience. Obedience doesn't happen until it happens. And it can be an aspirational value all of our lives and say, I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey. But Jesus wants to bless us with, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not, I'm so glad you wanted to do that all of your life. That's not what he's telling Billy Graham this morning. Billy, he's not saying, Billy, I know you wanted to preach and just pour your life out. I know you wanted to. I know you wanted to be a man of the word. I know you wanted to be a husband after God. I know you wanted to be a father after God. I know you wanted to, Billy. He's saying, well done, Billy. Well done. You did what I asked. You were obedient. You stood up boldly for my word. You preached the word with love and compassion and boldness. And well done, Billy. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Welcome into your Father's kingdom. He also wants to bless us with meaning for life. John 1:43 says, he found Philip and said to him, follow me, follow me. I believe if there's one thing, one huge, gaping, gasping deficit in our world today, we need more Jesus. We need Jesus in our schools. We need moral teaching in our schools. Our kids that have never had it at home, how are they going to understand that there is meaning in life if they're not hearing it from somewhere? How are they going to find that there is meaning for life, and that it begins that God created the heavens and the earth, and man sinned, and therefore you and I have a sin problem, but God sent his Son to die for you and for me, that we may be in the presence of a holy God. That there's meaning in life. You may call me simplistic, but I believe that if a potential school shooter knew about Jesus and knew that there was meaning, that it would divert the problem. It would fix the problem. You see, people are looking for meaning. And when there's no meaning in life and no value for life, tragic things happen. God wants to save us from that. Amen. He wants to bless us with the joy of sacrifice and surrender. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 talk about being sanctified as the Lord God invites us to be sanctified. Then in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone will come after me, Let him deny himself and follow me, taking up his cross daily. Finally, he wants to bless us with good fishing. Good fishing. Matthew 4:19. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And he said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You see, God desires to bless your life as a steward of all the resources that he's given you, which means you've got the best news that there ever was. And we have the privilege of pouring it into lives that are missing meaning and missing hope and missing direction in the lives of the people that we interact with every day. Good stewardship. He wants to bless you and me with good stewardship. Well done. Now, those words are within the context of a parable. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You remember when Jesus was talking about a man brought his servants together and he began to distribute his wealth? And in one he gave one talent, and the next he gave five talents, and the next he gave 10 talents. And the one that had one talent, what did he do? He went and buried it. He was so afraid that this whole plan of God to invest his wealth, which, by the way, it's not ours, it's all his, amen. You're just a beneficiary for now, a channel blessing for now. He was so nervous that the master was going to really come down on him if he risked it all, if he risked what he gave him. So instead of doing that, he buried it. And that's exactly what we do when we withhold the tithe from God. We're burying what God has asked us to invest. But he wants to save us from that. He wants us to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. But since you excel in everything, Paul is patting his church on the back. He says, since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and in complete earnestness and in the love that we have kindled in you, see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. Each one should set aside in his heart the amount that God has prompted his heart to give, and he should give that amount every week in keeping with his income. So what is stewardship? That's really what this is, stewardship. Elmer Towns says, stewardship is the proper management of your time, talent, and treasure for the glory of God. Stewardship is the proper management of your time, talent, and treasure for the glory of God. So what happens when we tithe? I can tell you what doesn't happen. Tithing won't get you into heaven. Just clearing that up, okay? So in case you're writing a check and thinking, you know, this is my ticket, thank you, God. Man, this gets expensive after a while, paying for my ticket to heaven. That's not what this is. Amen. Tithing does not get you into heaven. Tithing rather reveals where our trust is. Tithing reveals that our trust is in God, even for our finances. Acts 8, chapter 20 says, let your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Number two, tithing doesn't fix your finances. Just in case you think I just want to clear it up, it doesn't make everything easy financially. Tithing rather reflects your relationship with God. It's the Holy Spirit who makes you holy, and God, by His Holy Spirit in you, will help you make the best financial decisions that you can make. You become a better steward as you tithe. Amen? Got kind of slim on the amens there for a little while. All right, coming in for a landing here. Remember, Jesus says, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. I know what you're thinking, because I think it too every week. Well, what about my debt? as I'm writing down the tithe check. What about my car payment? What about my this and that? And I just, would remind us, what part of that wouldn't God already understand? Amen? He understands. He understands that we struggle with money, and maybe that's why he talks so much about it. Amen? Is there any part of that that is out of God's control? And I came to this revelation after 25 years of pastoral ministry. Either God will provide for these needs to be met, or he will free you from the burden of being over-leveraged. It is the American way to live over-leveraged. And maybe God is just saying, you don't have to live like that. Return to the simplicity, the easy yoke of my life. Return to me. I want to bless you. Tithing restores to you the life of simplicity, of putting God first in your finances. I was talking to a gentleman that moved to Georgia a couple months ago. He was a regular at Lost Lake, and I was telling him, he said, Pastor, what are you going to preach on Sunday? And he's one of them. I said, I'm going to preach on tithing, Steve. Really, Pastor? I'm not exaggerating at all. He said, Pastor, I wish I could be there. He said, I would love to be there. He said, you could count on me to testify. He says, I don't know what happened in my life, but he said, I didn't learn about the grace of tithing until I was well in my 40s. And he said, I wish I'd have known about it earlier. He said, because I can tell you how I've been blessed up and down, inside and out. God has blessed my life so richly because of this grace of tithing. Not making that up. And since he said he was going to testify, his name's Steve Blivens. When we give as the Lord commands, God has a way of making our 90% go further than the 100% would ever go otherwise. How does that work? I don't know. But I can testify that it's true. Amen? It's true. Giving a tithe doesn't take away our healthy reservedness for taking risks. It's going to make you smarter. Amen? It's going to make you a better Stuart, because you're thinking about how God can bless what you have dedicated completely to him. Tithing does reflect your priorities in life, which will put you in a place to be blessed by God in all other areas of life. So whose money is it? It's God's. What's our job? To manage it. I can't believe he gave us so much responsibility. I can't believe he gives me so much to manage. But he says, John, now don't start thinking that this is all because you're such a good manager. He says, John, remember, I've given this so that you can spend it in the kingdom for my honor and my glory, that you can invest it in lives that are seeking for meaning and purpose. Giving a tithe is a faith gift to God. You see, all the Lord's tithe, it's all holy unto him. Malachi 3:8, God asks us the question, will a man rob God? You see, giving a tithe is not tipping God. Tithing is giving God the first tenth of everything we possess. in closing, not tithing does not put you on some kind of a list, so don't worry about that. Not tithing does not bring about the anger of God. Not tithing does not make God love anybody any less. It's as simple as this. Tithing is a simple principle of financial stewardship taught throughout the Bible. Tithing ensures that God is the Lord of your finances. Tithing opens up the windows of heaven for you to receive the blessings of God. Amen. Amen. So, we gave you a paper in your bulletin. This is really only for your reference. I don't obviously even want to know unless you want to share it with me. But here's a response to God. By the way, after so many years in the ministry and doing so many funerals, it always helps to have some indicators in the person's Bible that you're preaching from. That many times a family will give me the deceased Bible and I can look at it and see what they've underlined and see what papers are stuck in there and see what pages are frayed and what pages have teardrops on them, and I can see where they've been and I can preach from those passages. This might be a piece of paper you want to wrestle with. It's not an emotional decision, it's a spiritual decision. And I give this to you as kind of a something that you may want to stick in your Bible for your own personal reference, or perhaps for the lives of your kids, the next generation, so that you know that they know where your values were. The first one is about the tithe, about giving God our whole lives. My commitment to Jesus is, Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my whole life. Take me and cleanse me. I give my time to you. Take it and use it for your glory. I give my talent to you. Take my service and accomplish your will with it. I give you my money. Take my tithe and expand it in your kingdom. Signed, John, or Bill, or whatever your name is. And the next part there is really what this is all about anyway. You can't do the second part until you've done this part that I'm going to talk about right here. I mean, you could give, and that would be, it'd be commendable, but I want you to make sure you get this next part because it's the most important. If you've never really accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, would you do it right now? Do not delay or put it off. If you would like to receive Jesus by faith, pray this simple prayer in your heart. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross and rose on the third day. I repent of my sins. By faith, I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior. You have promised to save me. And I believe you, because you are God and cannot lie. I believe right now that the Lord Jesus is my personal Savior, and that all my sins are forgiven through His precious blood. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that I want to know about. I don't need to know about your finances, but I do want to celebrate with you. You receiving Christ Jesus as your Lord. Amen. Let's pray as our worship team comes. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your delicate work in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that you are not avoiding issues that might make us uncomfortable. We thank you, Lord, that you are not yielding to our discomfort in order to make sure that we know the truth. We thank you, Lord, that this grace of giving and this grace of tithing can be complete, and that we can live in obedience in our lives. And because of that, you are able to bless. You are able to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that we have not been able to contain. Thank you, Lord. Bless each one who has made this commitment to you. Bless each one, Lord, that has received you as their personal Savior, either online or here in our community room here this morning. Lord, may you be blessed as we receive you into every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
Nothing can separate. Even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas, 'cause your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. Oh no, yeah. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
Your love never fails.
All things work together for my good. God, you make all things work together for my good. Jesus, you make all things work together for my good. God, you make all things work together for my good. Stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. God, your love never fails. Jesus, your love never fails.
Your love never fails.
Amen. Woo! Praise the Lord. Let me share a couple of announcements. I would like to meet the board right over here if I can, right after the service. If we can't make that happen, we'll wait here a minute or so if the board can meet. If not, we'll have to do it another time. Just a short, about a two-minute meeting. And also today, at the end of the service, probably about 12:30, at about almost 20 minutes, we'll be having our Pathways to Faith and Action meeting. And what that is it's kind of a introductory course on how we get things done here in the church and move the ball down the field for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you need to get a sack lunch, run down to McDonald's real quick, and we'll meet you back here. It won't be a long meeting. It'll be less than an hour, so hope you can make that. Today, remember, March 3rd, which is next Saturday, is the men's conference, Iron Sharpens Iron. If you haven't been registered for that but would like to still get in, I'm just about ready to send the check away. I'll send it away tomorrow. And yes, that's this Saturday? Yeah, March 3rd. I don't know what I said, but thank you. And then there is also going to be this Saturday, March 3rd, there'll be a ladies' game night here in the community room from 4:30 to 8:30. So Jeanette is, she was showing me her scars earlier today from spoons. So I know it gets a little rough, but if you're willing to play it rough, you come on in. So, and then March 18th, of course, we'll be here at Living Well hosting our Dixon community for the Lenten service. And remember, at the end of the service, we could also use some volunteers to help prepare for the well distribution of the food later this week, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5:30 to 6:30.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
Do you make?